Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Also, you can take us to go on the ESPN Chicago app, and you can find any of our podcasts as well. It's all brought to you by Glenview Park Golf Club, and this segment is brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf Without the Drive. And now we are pleased to be joined on site at the NV5 Invitational by the tournament director, Chris Montagano, with us on the CDGA Golf Show alongside Mike up at the Glen Club. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, I can't hear anything.
Oh. Do we have Chris up there? We got Chris up there?
Yep, we've got Chris now. Sorry, awesome. We just had a little technical difficulty.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Morning to you.
Yeah, we're doing good, Chris. And, no, it's really good to have you up here. And, you know, it's a special weekend when you come to the Glen Club and you walk out to the back patio and I look down on the first tee and I see Mr. Mike Bruni.
Sure.
Starting out the groups
legend.
Bright and early this morning,
yeah,
the legend. It was really cool. We're perched right here at the back of the Glen Club, and we have a beautiful view over the first tee and watching the green coats send these players off. And what a weekend, what a day. And you couldn't be more proud of what's going on here, Chris.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, you touch on the weather there. I mean, when this event used to be hosted over Memorial Day weekend, we certainly had some bad weather days. And I remember a couple years ago, I think it was 2021, 30-year veteran rules official told me it was the second worst day he'd ever officiated in out here. So, the last 2 years we've been very lucky with the weather. The move to the July dates has certainly been good for us. We've seen some nice growth over the years with this event and getting more and more community support. It's been really great.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned the weather, and what has to be said is a kudos to Adam Wiles. This golf course, I took a walk around this place, Tyler, and it is an absolute mint condition. So the scores naturally are going to be low. We saw the 36-hole scoring record yesterday, and to me, that's got to be a testimony of what's going on here with Adam and his crew and just getting this place set and ready. I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, the golf course, I mean, you can't say enough good things about Adam and his staff right now. I mean, they had, probably close to 800 rounds Friday, Saturday, Sunday before this tournament. We were joking about it the other day. I think one of the guys from PGA Tour Agronomy was talking about everybody in the Chicago area and in southeast Wisconsin, I think, played the golf course before the tournament. So, you know, the golf course is as good as I've ever seen it in our 5 years here since 2019. And, you know, we took a year off at Chicago Highlands when we were rescheduled with the whole COVID pandemic. But, I mean, the golf course is just pristine right now, and the conditions for scoring are just incredible. So not surprised to see these guys lighten it up. But the golf course is just impeccable. So, I mean, again, can't say enough about Adam and his crew.
And knowing that you've got this arena, we want to get the fans out here to see just how special this place is. And when I drove up here, I just shook my head. I go, I don't know if they timed this correctly, but they have an art fest going next door.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot going up here, up in the Glen Club area. But what a great place to bring the kids. And when I walked in, I couldn't believe this kid zone. Can you explain how all came to be?
Yeah, we've got this, you know, really nice area for those that have been out the Glen Club, the main entryway. It's because a good thoroughfare, kind of where we bring people through the property, and we've kind of developed it into a little bit of a fan zone, trying to do some things to, you know, get people and the family involved. So, you know, first off, you know, you can still get tickets. You can buy tickets at the gate. Kids under the age of 16 get in free. You mentioned the art fair. Art at the Glen is next door, so that's a free event next door. So, got an opportunity to come out and see some great golf, see some great art. But, you know, we partnered with the First Tee of Greater Chicago, great partners of ours at the Western Golf Association, and they've got a kind of a junior golf instructional activation in the fan zone. So you'll be able to find it by the giant inflatable Godzilla in the parking lot right now.
So, tough to miss.
But yeah, they've been busy the last few days, and they're going to be here today as well. So it's come on out, bring the family, bring the kids, you know, some shots. And, you know, I think you mentioned it as we were getting ready to come onto the air. I mean, you know, some of the talent that we've had come through the Glen Club over the years – Now playing at the PGA Tour, it's easy to see these guys up close and personal right now when they become a little bit bigger like Scotty is right now. Harder to see him in those big crowds at the PGA Tour level, but you know, it's a little bit easier to do it here at the Glen Club.
Chris Montagano, the tournament director for the NV5 Invitational, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, yeah, talking a little bit about the history of the event and how you see these guys having the success on the PGA Tour. Do you almost feel like a proud father? Like you kind of help these guys get to the stage where they're at on the tour?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I've been a Scotty guy since he won here, and I used to actually get a lot of grief from the guys I work with. Always used to give me a hard time about how much I would root for him, and you know, I don't know that I saw what he's done happening, but I always used to say it was a matter of time before he's going to win. Again, I don't know if I envisioned him doing what he's doing, but it's pretty cool to watch. But you know, was just talking about this with some of the team. You know, we've had a number of players here that. You know, we've whether they've won here, you know, you talk about Scotty, you talk about Cam Young being PGA Tour Rookie of the Year his first year on, Harry Hall just winning on the PGA Tour. You know, it's cool to see that, and I think it talks about the level of play here at the Korn Ferry Tour and how quickly they are ready to perform at the next level. You know, but we've given exemptions to guys like Davis Riley, to Nick Hardy, to Austin Eckroat, all guys that have gone on, use that exemption to earn Korn Ferry Tour status, then piggyback that into tour status, and have turned it all into wins on the PGA Tour. So, I mean, the talent level here is so good, and whether these guys become superstars in the PGA Tour or, you know, maybe they make it, maybe they never do, but, I mean, the talent level is so good. To come out these, watch these guys hit balls in the range, you know, to watch them play golf up at close and personal, it's truly a treat. And, again, you know, you've got your crowds aren't 20,000-30,000 people like they are at a PGA Tour event. It becomes a lot easier to see them up close and personal. But yeah, it's cool to see when you've got guys tied to the event, tied to our organization, whether they were past. We've got a past Western Junior winner in the field. We've got three Western Amateur winners. So it's cool to kind of see it all come together. I mean, when we started this event in 2019, we felt like it was a very natural feel within our organization between the Western Junior, the Western AM, then the Korn Ferry Tour, and then hopefully see these guys play at the BMW Championship, you know, the PGA Tour level.
Yeah, and you mentioned also how this tour, but let alone this stop in particular, has produced a lot of great players. Now, there were two players that, had they won this week, would have immediately got their cards.
Yep.
They unfortunately missed the cut.
Yep.
But last year, you had four players in your top of the leaderboard. They all went on to get their cards. And, in fact, one of them, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Gutterup?
Chase. Yeah.
He won the Chase 2024 won, yeah. Myrtle Beach Classic. So
yeah.
These are names right now that aren't Scotty Scheffler yet.
Yep.
But it's amazing how the Glen Club has the DNA and has the track record of continuing to identify through play on this golf course. And over the years, you have really turned out a lot of alumni out of this place.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, again, the talent here is so good. And again, we've been fortunate to see, you know, see some guys that play here move on to the next level and play very well. So it's very fortunate. It helps us in our efforts to promote this tournament year over year. It certainly doesn't hurt.
Right. And Harry Hall is another guy, although he's not in the field today, he's having quite a year on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's another one that if he gets his third win,
yep,
he returns back to that PGA Tour, and I know he wants,
yep,
to get back there in a big, big way.
Yeah, Harry, we were bummed to miss Harry this week. You know, he's been playing really well, but my understanding, he's on his honeymoon right now. So,
well,
he may be having more fun on his honeymoon than maybe he would be playing the golf course. But I don't know, given this weather, it's pretty good for Chicago. So,
Chris Montagano with us here. He's the tournament director for the NV5. So what's something new and exciting that you're really excited about for this year's tournament, with maybe whether it's on the course, off the course? What is it for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've done some things to grow the event over the last couple of years. I think from a spectator standpoint, as I mentioned, still can get tickets. You can buy them at the gate. You can buy them online, nv5invitational.com. But I think one of the cool things that we did this year, we have a new venue on the 17th hole. So 17 is a great par 3, a lot of action. We've actually got a great hole location, I hear, today down in the lower bowl, so we're hoping we may see an ace today. But the Trophy Club is a new venue, $45 ticket, food and beverage available within in the venue, and right on the 17th green. And I went out there yesterday. We were, you know, we were trying to make it our version of waste management out there. So it was packed yesterday. People were having a great time. Have a great crowd out there today. I think, again, with that whole location, hopefully we get some fireworks.
Well, I saw a lot of people with their chairs heading out that direction, so I think they were looking to get the prime seats. So, but there's plenty of great seats, to your point. Mm-hmm. Come on out here. And, in fact, you guys do something really nice for the military as well.
Yeah, military, first responders, free admission to the tournament. So active, retired military, first responders, come on out and join us.
Wow. You guys don't miss a beat. And, Chris, what a wonderful, wonderful weekend that you guys are having here. And I wish you nothing but the best and congratulations on what is looking to be just another successful event by the Western Golf Association.
Yeah. And as you know, the proceeds from the event go to benefit the Evans Scholars Foundation. So always nice to come out and have a great event. And when it can benefit a great cause, it's what nice as well.
That's a great point that you bring up. This event in particular, what will be some of the benefits that will go it towards the total story of what the WGA does?
Yeah, I think it's good. We love to leverage our scholars this week. So as we look at some of the things we do, our Evan Scholars caddy for the amateurs and on both our Monday and Wednesday pro-am. So we get a chance to expose those kids to some of the folks that play in the pro-am. So we had probably close to, 250 caddies out here over the course of Monday and Tuesday, or I'm sorry, Monday and Wednesday caddying. We've got, we did some great, we actually had a local influencer cooking with Daryl out yesterday. He did a really cool segment with a couple scholars. He does a business 101 and program now through his channels, and he did that with a couple scholars yesterday. And then again, all the proceeds will go to benefit those kids. And as we look to carry out our mission of sending more caddies to college.
And then on top of it, you're doing something unique this year with the alumni.
Yeah, we are. I appreciate you bringing that up. So, in the Corona Cabanas today, we have partnered with our Evan Scholar Alumni Association to create what we call the Loopers Lounge. We did this at the BMW Championship, and we wanted to try to recreate it on a bit of a smaller scale here. Yes, we've got about 100 alumni that will be out in our Corona Cabanas today watching some great golf.
So if you're a first responder, military, youth, an alumni,
yeah,
you have no excuse not to come
out
here, right? So this is the place to be today, folks, for some great golf and tomorrow. Yeah. So do yourselves a favor and come on out. Tyler, you should come on up. We're up in your neck of the woods.
I know, yeah.
Just down the street. I love
playing that course. And I've been, I'm trying to remember how many times. I mean, I've been up at that for that event, even back when it was like the LaSalle Bank Open. Back in the day, but I love that event, and it does bring out a great crowd. It's great for the Glenview community, and hopefully I can make it up there at some point today. But yeah, Chris, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it, and best of luck with the rest of the way.
Absolutely, thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Chris Montagano, tournament director, NV5 Invitational, brought to you by Old National Bank. When we come back, Mike, I want to get some of your impressions of what you're seeing out there at the Glen Club, what you've seen from the NV5 as well. We'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. If you missed anything, we did our entire Open Championship recap in the first hour of the show today. You can catch it on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search the CDGA Golf Show. Mike is live out at the Glen Club in Glenview for the NV5 Invitational presented by Old National Bank. And Mike, what have you kind of seen out there on the course today and throughout your time that you've spent at the Glen Club?
Well, you know, what you're seeing is just a lot of these players learning how to become better professionals. And it's interesting when you get here how they go about their business. And, you know, it's just like a tour player. They are just an eyelash away from being on the tour. So their preparation and what they do is no different than what Scotty and Xander and, you know, Bryson and all the rest of them do to get ready for this thing. And, you know, after, you know, having a good day, an average day, a struggle type of day, they're back out at this thing hours and hours. Like, the leaders are already here. They're getting their bodies worked on. They're getting their, you know, games and their stretching and their therapy and all of that. And then, you know, it turns to their diet. They're in eating and getting ready. I mean, these guys are finely tuned athletes. I mean, you know, you may say, hey, the tour is the best 150 in the world. Well, the next 150 greatest are right here. And it's interesting to watch them go about their business in the manner that they do. But what I'm most impressed with is when you go to the short game practice area, the types of creativity and ingenuity that they come up with and the type of shots that they practice aren't your traditional kinds of shots that you and I might try to make. I'm starting to see some real creativity with wedges and making things side spin and side spin to the left, side spin to the right. You know, they think their game through at a level that is completely different than what we traditionally. I mean, we're just trying to get it to a general area. Their precision and their ability to aim at very specific points is absolutely uncanny. And I think what has transpired over the last decade or two with the changes in the swing and shallowing out, and really it's all about face control. And being able to control the face of your club as you come through impact, as I grew up, that was never really taught to us. It was just get back to square as best you can, you know, release it, turn it over with that right hand, and away you go. Not anymore. And because of this face angle and the ability to aim the golf ball like they've never done before, these guys can aim it and hit it at points and at targets at we just dream about. And so what I'm most impressed with is not only the length that I'm seeing off the tee and with general irons. I was asking a gentleman what iron he was hitting, and I was sure it was like a 7-iron, maybe a 6, and it was his 9-iron. I mean, it's just amazing how high and how far these guys can hit it. It's just a joy to watch, and the ball striking is as solid or maybe even could be arguably better than what you might see week to week on the tour. These young athletes, they are strong. They are limber. They can make a turn like we only dream we could make a turn. And they make what I call quiet power. You know, it's just, it's kind of a whip. You know, they're not big, like big, strong guys like an athlete like a Bo Jackson. These guys have a different core strength and a flexibility that can make this thing whip. You know, I mean, we're talking ball speeds that are, you know, up 180 or greater off the tee from these guys. And it's just amazing to watch. So I'm really pleased. Once we get off the air here, I'm going to have quite an afternoon of just kind of walking around and watching the next stars of tomorrow, you know, today. So it's really cool, and I would encourage anyone to just come on out and walk around, and I think you'll actually learn a lot about your own game and take some, you know, nice little tips and see some things that you don't currently do and how the process. And that's the other thing I see out here, how much these guys trust the process. They don't necessarily come out here with a score in their mind. They just come out, and they know that if they trust their process, the scores will just come. And I think that is something that we can all take, you know, and gather and gain a lot for our own games.
I think one of the things that you brought up there, the watching these guys on the practice range is always one of the hidden gems of going to any tournament. Because, yeah, it's cool to follow a guy or be camped out on a green or something like that. But when you see these guys on a practice range and just hear the way the ball comes off of their club, it sounds a little different. The way, and like you said, them working on all these little different facets of their game and stuff that you and I could never even dream of trying in a round of our own. But for them, it's just kind of what they do. It's really spectacular to see how these guys try to shape some of their shots, how they try to approach different angles and stuff like that. And you see a lot of it on that those practice ranges that really give you a good glimpse into how everything is just so much different and how these guys are just so much better than both you and I are. No matter how good or avid of a golfer you are, when you see these guys who are professionals do it, it is a world of a difference on how they can go about controlling that golf ball.
And the other thing that's amazing, too, if you saw some of these gentlemen in the grocery store, you know, at the drugstore, whatever, you would never put them in the caliber, just looking at them in stature, of, you know, a prominent athlete, or, you know, a mm-hmm. world's greatest whatever. But they are. It's amazing just how amazing, and with the builds that these guys have, they just like look like regular people
right.
when they're in their street clothes. But you put a driver in their hand or a 5-iron, and all of a sudden they turn into like a superhero with what they can do. And it's really a joy to watch. But I love what you just said. It's my favorite place to hang out, is watching these guys take it to the top at the practice range and watch how they stay on plane. And just sitting at the range itself, you will become a better ball striker just through the process of watching them do everything right. And it will wear off. If you watch enough successful swings, you might start to adopt a few of their moves and watch what they're working on and how they clear that left hip now versus trying to make it go towards the target. They're trying to get it out of the way and create a lot of space for their hands to move in. And that's why you'll see a lot of these gyrations of these guys like almost squatting, pulling that left hip back. That's what they're trying to do now. That's the new thing, to get that belt buckle looking right at the target as soon as possible with those hands trailing behind, getting that club back to square and getting that face angle exactly where they want it. And that's how they make an incredible amount of birdies. They just hit it so darn close, and then obviously they're better putters than most.
Yeah, and you talk about like the how these guys just kind of look like your everyday Joes that you could see at the grocery store. It's so fascinating, too, because I saw yesterday on Twitter at the Olympic opening ceremonies, and they were like behind the scenes. And, you know, like Steph Curry is a huge golfer, so he's kind of hanging out with some of these golfers. He's hanging out with guys like Colin Morikawa, and it's amazing. Steph Curry is not big by any stretch of the imagination in terms of basketball player, especially for a basketball player. I think he checks in at like 6'2", 6'3". But he towers over someone like Colin Morikawa because, I mean, you're right. Like these golfers just kind of look like your everyday humans that you're going to see going about their everyday lives. All right, when we come back, we have yet to discuss the Ryder Cup captaincy of Keegan Bradley, and that's something that I think we should get to. So we'll give our thoughts on everything that we think is going to take place out at Bethpage in 2 years from now, or I guess a year from now, with Keegan Bradley leading Team USA. So we'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Tor Edge. Before we get to some Keegan Bradley here, let's give away a couple of passes to our great presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. We've got two coupons for one round and a cart at Glenview Park, all thanks to our buddy Ron Cassidy up there at Glenview Park. So callers 5 and 10, you will win one pass that gets you a round in a cart at Glenview Park Golf Club. 312-332-3776. Callers 5 and 10 will win that pass. Before we get to Keegan Bradley as well, let's check in with Eddie. He's on the north side. He's got a question for us. What's up, Eddie?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, and just like what you guys were saying recently, I mean, I've been at pro events and watched them on the practice round, and they don't even swing that hard or that quick, but the ball flies. And the question is it's got to be the equipment. They have to have these ultimate equipment? I mean, is it a terms of a heavier driver head to a lighter head? The heavier head is going to hit the ball further, even at a lower speed? I've always questioned that, and I was, you know, that's like my question, you know?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Eddie. I think it's it's a combination of a couple things. A, they know how to use the equipment, and I think that's a huge difference between your everyday hacker and a tour professional as well. They know how to utilize the equipment, all the differences with all the balls and stuff like that. And also just, I mean, these guys are training for golf as well. I think they're exercising certain muscles with the intent of adding driving distance. And I'm sure you've got a couple other factors as well, Mike.
Well, yeah, I mean, distance is a combination. It's a simple formula, mass times speed. And so you do have to have some mass, but believe it or not, it's all about speed. And so the training that they do, the quick twitch muscles, what they're actually doing, Eddie, is they're creating an optical illusion. It looks like they are swinging effortlessly, but it is such harnessed power in a way that the heel, your hips, and basically your core is leading the hands in a way that is happening so quick to the human eye that you can't pick up on it until you see it in super slow-mo as to how much they're leading with their lower part of their body before that upper actually swings. What makes a swing look hard and cumbersome and heavy is when we try to swing with our arms and our chest first. And as we are wired as human beings, that's the move 98.5% of America makes out on the practice range. You start it from the top with your hands because for whatever reason, we feel that from our chest up is where all our strength is, but our strongest part of our bodies are in our legs, our quads, and our core. And that's if you come out here to the old National NV5 Invitational today, watch how they clear their lower body starts everything. And in fact, I would argue you would go watch these guys. They actually start down to the ball just before they get that club all the way back. So their lower is actually working before their hands get totally set at the top. And it makes that illusion like an Ernie Els or, you know, some of these guys, it just looks so smooth, but the ball takes off. So, yes, Tyler, you are correct. It is part of their ability to understand equipment and get that equipment fit for them. And the fitting is more sophisticated than it has ever been. They can, with computers, show exactly where they want their flex in the shaft, whether they want it down towards the club head in the mid shaft or up higher in the grip that is most optimal for their type of swing. Some guys like to really wait till the very last second and snap that thing off, and others have an earlier release. Well, the technology these days, folks, is such that they can dial in a shaft that really complements their style of swing in this day and age than they ever could when Nicholas Palmer and Trevino and they all played. It was just a standard stock steel shaft. Today, between technology, the science of the thing, and then you throw in the fitness and the evolution of teaching, that's why you're seeing this thing look so simple and easy. But it is a very violent move. But they're creating an optical illusion that shows you that it's all the equipment doing the work, when in fact it's only the partially of the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Keegan.
So great question, Eddie.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Eddie. And if anyone else has anything, 312-332-3776. So Keegan Bradley is your Ryder Cup captain for the U.S. team for 2025 when it flips over back stateside to Bethpage Black, and you look at the daunting task that he has ahead. He has to defend home turf here for the U.S. team, and you know, it's an interesting pick. Obviously, Keegan Bradley was someone who thought he should have been on the team. He should have been a captain's pick by Zach Johnson last year. Instead, Zach Johnson decided to go with Justin Thomas as one of the final spots for that U.S. team, and it was obviously in an emotional spot for Keegan. You saw him getting the call on Full Swing and everything. that went into that. There's obviously that suitcase as well that was a big part of that, where he has not unpacked that suitcase since the last time he was a part of the Ryder Cup team, and he is not going to be unpacking that suitcase until he is back on the team. But this is an interesting pick. Obviously, when people were thinking about the captaincy for this upcoming Ryder Cup, all eyes went to Tiger Woods. But that is not going to be the case. Tiger just feels like he's got too much on his plate right now.
You know, and it's funny. Things work out in the end in funny ways, or they end up the way they should be. And when I say that, yeah, all eyes went to Tiger for this, but in retrospect, really, if you really take a hard look at this, this should have been the year that Phil Mickelson should have been our captain. Phil Mickelson should be the captain, you know, out at Bethpage, because New York loves him. He's had such great, you know, times out there playing majors, whether it's at Shinnecock or you know, other places out in the New York area. So he's a big, big fan favorite out that way. But unfortunately, with Liv, things turned out the way that they did. Like you said, Tiger's got, you know, interests that are outside of what's going on right now in his world. Honestly, I think Tiger is eyeing being the captain when we go over there in more hostile, you know, conditions, if you will. But to me, I think the Keegan Bradley selection is brilliant. I think it finally, you know, creates a reason that, you know, that we do something different. It's the most out-of-box thinking that I can come up with, but it does represent to me a break with the past. And by that, I mean it's all been done, the good old boys network. It's always been done with a wink, wink, and kind of a, yeah, you're going to be my guy because you're my guy, you're my friend. I think Keegan's going to bring a new, fresh approach, and it might be a game changer for the United States squad for the years to come if he goes about this in a way that I think that he will. But I think the golf gods have been kind to Keegan Bradley now. I think it's going to be something that we will all be pulling for USA naturally. But I think having Keegan as the captain, I think one thing is for sure, we will get the best team. We will not have necessarily friends. I think there will be some chemistry that becomes a part of his picks, but I think he is going to show why he is an excellent choice and why, you know, he should and deserves to be the captain. And I think he can actually do this job. My only question is, he's only 38 years old. It's not like he's over the hill yet.
Right.
He still has a lot of great golf to still be played. Could he be a captain that actually decides to play, or will he regulate himself back to being a captain regardless of how he does? Because there is a history of players that have played as a captain as well as, you know, a player on the team while being the captain. So it's going to be interesting, but I love the pick. I think it's a great pick considering Tiger not being able to be available, because to me, he would have been the natural. But kudos to the PGA of America for making an out-of-box selection as they did.
Yeah, I think it's, if you can't get Tiger, you can't get Phil. I think it's a solid pick here in Keegan Bradley. He's someone who understands how important it all is. And I think the other component to it as well is you bring up the chemistry and he's not just going to pick his friends type of deal here too. Like, he knows how heartbreaking it is when he feels like he should be on that roster, that he'll pick the guys that he thinks are the 12 most fitting guys to be a part of this thing. And it really, like, if I had to ask you, let's say he was the captain of last year's team. Is he picking Justin Thomas, do you think?
Yeah, I think he is.
You think he is?
I think he would. I think he would. Well, you mean for last year?
For last year, yeah.
Let's say he was captain last year
instead of Zach Johnson. Would he have taken Justin Thomas as part of that team?
No, he would not have.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have. Yeah, I do not think so. I thought if you thought maybe for the next. But yes, no, he would not have. He would not have picked Justin Thomas, I guarantee it. He would have had other selections in mind, And I think conceivably could have been part of the reason we may have been able to win. And I'm not saying it was Justin Thomas's fault that we didn't win.
Justin Thomas was actually one of the better players, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, he was kind of the, you know, yeah. I mean, he was the best of the mediocre, if you really want to put it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he was one of our better players on the team. The team just didn't fare all that well. But I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Should Keegan win at Bethpage? Should he be the captain again in 2027?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think that you have to find someone who I think Keegan's kind of that happy medium where he's not in the Spieth and JT sort of click era of golfers right now. He's kind of separated from that group and kind of, I don't want to say has a bird's eye view of the game, but it's kind of like he feels a little separated, and I think that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I think we're starting to get to the point in Ryder Cup play that with the next few Ryder Cup matches, you know, on the schedule, on the docket, we know where we're going. I think we're going to start running out of legitimate one-time captains. I think we're going to have to double up on some captaincy positions here. And it's not uncommon, you know, for the likes of a Ben Hogan who captained three teams and went 3-0. And Davis Love had a couple of teams. And, wow, Walter Hagen captained six times and was 4-2 in his record. I just think the Europeans used to do this. And once they got on a run with a particular captain, they just stuck with them. And I think we need to adopt maybe that same type of consideration on our end. And I would love to see if Keegan can create the formula, then why not just stick with it and keep that captain and let the hot hand run until he either decides I don't want to do this anymore or he loses. I just think, you know, the more, how should I say, you treat it more like any other coaching duty mm-hmm. where you're not playing favorites and you literally coach the team to win, not to put your buddies on, I think we'll have a very major impact on how we do and the results we achieve.
Yeah. The other thing too is, like, let's not forget when they were in Rome last year, it's not like Europe had their A team out there, right? And I think some of that's going to change too with it looks like what LIV players will be allowed to play on the European side for the next go around. Yep. At this thing. So they'll get their Sergios back. They'll get some of these guys back off of LIV that may make things a little bit more difficult for the United States. So it's going to be a situation certainly worth monitoring when we get there in a year from now. So, all right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA, this segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Congrats to Patrick from Evanston and Kyle from Glenview. They were your winners of the Glenview Park Golf Club coupons. So enjoy your rounds out there. Say hi to Ron Cassidy for us as well. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Mike, what do we have going on around the CDGA?
Well, Tyler, hopefully everyone's had a chance and is in the process of enjoying one of our biggest member benefits. And by that, I'm talking about our magazine, the Chicago District Golfer. The guys are in process of making the third edition, the August edition. That'd be three printed pieces in 3 months. So great job, guys. But the July edition should be in your homes now. A big congratulations to our partner, Tour Edge Golf, for naming golf industry stalwart Tim Clark as president of the 38-year-old golf manufacturer. Clark was previously with Wilson Golf for more than 25 years and was the president of the brand from 06 to 2023, one of the longest tenured leaders in the golf equipment industry. So in conjunction with the new hire, Tour Edge announces that current president David Glod, who is also a friend of the show, yeah, will move into the CEO role and that Clark will take over and oversee worldwide golf sales, strategic planning, and operational performance for Tour Edge, leading the company into a new area of growth and service as one of the top 10 brands in the world. So, folks, look for some amazing stuff to start coming out of the our little friends of Tour Edge Golf out in Batavia, Illinois. I couldn't be more proud for that company. And lastly, folks, the NV5 is going on here at the Glen Club, and I would encourage you to come on out. $20 for a ticket for adults. Kids, veterans, and first responders are all free. So come on out and see tomorrow's stars today. And that is it for Around the CDGA.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you to Justin Pottinger and Matt McMaster for producing today's show. Peggy and Dion coming up next live from Bears training camp here on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.